players. We're all, again, when you're doing the same things and you have the same goals and kind of same common interests, it makes it a little bit easier to mesh and gel together.
A lot of talk that you're going to bring an edge to this team that's been much needed. What does that mean to you? And when you hear people say that, what does that mean?
I appreciate it. I think that just kind of goes with how I compete. I'm for the most part pretty laid back, except for when I'm on a baseball field. And I just don't think that's a good adjective to have on a baseball field. Being laid back in competition is never going to be good for you. So I do get intense. I like to compete, and I hate to lose. So all those things, kind of slam them together with high pressure situations. Sometimes you get a little off the rails, but I like to think I can dial it in when I need to, and hopefully that lifts guys up around me.
You mentioned having a normal off season. How much confidence do you have in where you're at health wise right now?
The most I've had in 6 years. This is the first time I've gone into an off season without dealing with something since 2018, something like that. So it's been a long time. So I'm, again, it was fun. I went into the off season. I had a lot of fun this off season, being able to play baseball and do things that I haven't been able to do. I was throwing bullpens here early in the off season, and I was supposed to throw 20, and you end up throwing 33, 34, and it's like, well, I haven't been able to do this. So I get to like 20, and it's like, man, I'm still having fun doing this. So I want to keep doing it. So I appreciate where I'm at. I appreciate all the people that helped me get to where I'm at, and just looking forward to this great opportunity ahead of us.
The mentality that you have as far as being a laid-back guy but then intense on the field, it's kind of similar to how you described this clubhouse, mm-hmm. kind of laid-back but, intense and driven. Do you feel like you are fitting in well so far and kind of matching that?
Well, I think that's why I feel so comfortable in what was very, appetizing as a trade. I've played against this team. I saw them in Boston last year, and when I was with Boston, we came to Atlanta, and you can see it, it's a bunch of great guys. You ask guys around the league, and nothing but great things to say about everybody in this clubhouse. But when you see them on the field, they're there to do some damage. And, that's how I operate. Let's have a good time. Let's kick it, have some fun. But when those lights flick on, it's time to go. And that's what this team's about.
Did you get a sense of that intensity here from the other players day one spring training?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's here. Again, we all have the same goal. And when you feel a sense of they didn't complete what they wanted to do last year, and you can go one of two ways with that, and this team is more hungry to get back to where they were and be the last team standing. So I'm here to help.
What's it been like just trying to get used to Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud behind the plate? Hadn't had any relationships with them so far behind the plate so far?
Yeah, so I've thrown to both of them so far. And catch the ball good. And no, they're good guys. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not too picky. Just throw down the fingers. I'm going to sling it in there. Keep it in front. If he runs, try to throw him out. But I'm excited for them. I've heard great things, and obviously their reputation and their numbers and stuff like that speak for itself. So, again, just here to do what I need to do.
At this stage of your career, do you feel like you can be that high-intensity guy and also know how to pace yourself so that you are there ready for October?
Yeah. I love to compete, and baseball's fun again. So, I'm really excited for this opportunity. It's been a while since I've had kind of the whole package of finishing healthy, having a normal offseason, coming into spring training and being healthy. So, all those things and hopefully being a little bit older and maybe slightly smarter with all that and the staff here and the people I'm surrounded by, going to give me the best opportunity I've had in a long time. So I'm excited for that.
You've got a guy a couple of doors down from you who's the oldest in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Have you guys found some common ground in the fact that you guys are veterans, you guys are up there, there's some youngsters in here?
Yeah, I'm gonna snoop through his locker and see if he's got that little bottle of water from the Fountain of Youth or something. I don't know what he's doing, but he's the oldest guy in this clubhouse, but he's still one of the best pitchers in the league, and that's very respectable. So obviously be picking his brain on you know, just routine and what he does to, because at the end of the day, it's about that fifth day. So, you know, what he's been able to do to achieve that.
What stands out?
All right, guys. Welcome back in. At the top of the show, we had a little bit of a technical issue, but
we're back.
We're back. Chris Sale, Braves pitcher. You just heard from him. And what we were saying is that Sale, as of now, is looking very, very good for the Braves. This is what you want to see as a manager, as a fan. He's pitched two games in his spring debut, Lee. He pitched just over two innings, struck out four over the weekend, struck out five in two innings of work. So for him, who has been through a very tough time the last few years with injuries, it's looking very good. And he told us in Florida, in Northport, how he feels the best he's felt in years, and mm-hmm. so far so good. And you did bring up a good point, is that we don't need to completely just go like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the best thing ever, because I mean, it's just over five innings pitched that we've seen. It's not a significant amount of
work. Small sample size.
But hey, still good if you're a Braves fan, because Braves fans right now are betting on him, you know?
Two things for him this camp. Don't get hurt. Strike people out. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So 32, I think I told you earlier, 32 days until the Braves open the season at home. There's their home opener, but
that's
they open the season on the road. So it'll be here even sooner.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Right. One last thing. Ronald Acuña Jr. Has not played in a few days. He has an injury. He wrote on X. I wanted to say Twitter, but it's X. He wrote, "I'll be back," with a running man emoji. Right. So it seems like he's feeling good right now. Manager Brian Snicker is not letting on that this is a huge issue. So for now, seems okay, but that could always change. And, you know,
yeah, we got to hope for the best.
They might not want to be telling us, you know, the real deal. But for right now, it seems like he'll be able to play in the season opener. Let's move on to the Hawks.
All right.
Two losses in a row against the exact same team in the exact same location. I hate that. Like,
yeah,
I really,
do. That's not normal.
I don't like the fact that they lost, but I hate the fact that they played the same team in the same location and back-to-back games.
The same
and
exact
it's not
result.
The playoffs.
Like, yeah, yeah. That's bad.
So they lost to Brooklyn in Brooklyn, their last two games. Obviously, this team this season, I can't figure them out. Up and down, up and down. And so
it does seem like it's a different thing every night. Like, it seems like it's something else. But no matter, the end result is always the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. They haven't been able, for me, they haven't been able to go on a run yet.
No, they haven't.
Like,
and that's
a significant,
I mean, that's
streak.
Been all season.
Yeah.
Like, it's just consistently underperforming. I mean,
2-2 without Trae Young. He had surgery last Tuesday on his hand. He's going to be out at least 4 weeks. That's when he'll be reevaluated.
Yeah.
So I know yesterday, Quinn Snyder, the head coach, was talking about how they have to move the ball around a lot more. You know, Trae, as much as he scores, he also, I think he's second in the league in assists.
Oh, he's assists. His assists are huge.
So that's really right now what they're missing is sharing the ball.
Ball movement.
Yeah. DeJounte Murray is picking up the brunt of it. But Quinn Snyder was saying how it can't just be him. It needs to be everyone who picks up the slack on that end. Because the scoring will come, but it's the assists that are hurting them right now. Just because Trae, obviously, so good in that department. So the Hawks actually remain in New York. They're still in the Big Apple. They play the Knicks tomorrow night. I said this last night. It's too bad for the Knicks fans because they love to taunt Trae Young. So I hate that they get to miss him tomorrow, because that is the one exciting thing to watch during that game, whether the Hawks are playing well or not playing well. Those fans do not.
I mean, in 21,
like,
remember
Young.
He got spit on.
Yeah, it was not a good situation.
You know,
but they beat the Knicks.
On a player,
then they
right?
beat what? Philly, and then they went to play the Bucks.
No, they
in the
did.
Eastern
they got on
finals.
A roll. They got on a crazy roll. Yeah. I wish we could see that now.
That was phenomenal. Absolutely
but
phenomenal.
I wouldn't count on it.
And they've been chasing that ever since, right? They've been chasing that greatness ever since that season, and we just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Even though it's basically the same team. That's the thing that's weird about it, is it's basically the exact same team. Like Kevin Herter was still on the team, Red Velvet. And
John Collins and Kevin Herter are the big two, right?
Yeah. But Kevin Herter won quite a few games for them during that run. Like, he played phenomenally. But if I were him, I would be so happy to be in the position I'm in now, you know, Herter. He's doing well with the Kings. So I think it was a good move.
Is it better than he's with the Kings, or just not on Atlanta's roster?
I mean, I don't know, but it's a good situation for him right now. Let's move on to the NFL Combine. I don't know how much you got to see of the Combine, Lee, or hear of it, or read about it. But I talked about it with Scott last week.
Okay.
And he asked me, which dog did I think needed to have a good performance or was actually going to perform really, really well? And I did pick Ladd McConkey.
Yeah.
And I said, I thought Ladd McConkey would go out there and turn heads. Mind you, he played most of the season injured. I think he had some time to get healthy, kind of like Brock, but Brock is going to go top 10.
Yeah, somebody's going to pick him up.
McConkey's not going to, right?
He might sneak in the bottom of the first round.
I don't think he will.
He might.
There's too many good receivers ahead of him. There's some pretty decent receivers that I think will go before.
I mean, but still, if you told me that guy was going to be a, you know, even a second round pick, third round pick even.
I think he'll go on
before
day two.
Before he started his career at Georgia, I would have said you're crazy.
Well, yeah, he was.
Because no one even knew who the guy was.
No one knew who he was. Small. I don't know how fast he was in high school. Like, I don't know how much speed he picked up at UGA. So he's probably always been
he small, definitely seems to have fast, progressed really fast.
Yeah, you know, he played his butt off. He was on scout team, and that's how you earn your spot.
He kind of reminds me of a better Hunter Renfrow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I mean, I said it the other day, and I mean, this is like so cliche, but he's the type of player who, if he went to the right place, like a Patriots when Bill Belichick was there, that would get playing time and yes,
yeah.
and truly yeah. flourish because Bill Belichick found players like that, like a Tom Brady who was drafted in the sixth round. I'm not saying he made Tom Brady by any stretch of the imagination, but he was able to take these players.
Julian Edelman.
Yes. And turn them into something. And I truly think that that's what McConkey's going to need. But I think if he goes to the right place, he'll get the opportunity. But he ran, I think, a 4.39 40. He was sixth fastest among receivers. Of course, there was a guy from Texas who set the combine record.
Yeah, so that's not good.
One.
Yeah.
I think Xavier
Worthy.
Yeah. Yes. And then a former dog who I really, really like and thought he was just tremendous. His mother was tremendous. Adonai Mitchell, who transferred to Texas. He was third fastest. So, you know, if you're a dog fan, I don't know, maybe you weren't happy that Adonai left. But with that being said, I think he will get drafted. Like, he's one of the guys who I think will get drafted before a Ladd McConkey, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy to think about Texas having two of the top three fastest receivers.
And that's crazy. Mitchell is a great talent, though. Like, a great, solid talent. I mean, He to me is tall and he looks more of a receiver, an NFL receiver physically than, let's say, a Ladd McConkey, who's a bit smaller.
Yeah.
But it was interesting when Ladd was being asked questions and stuff. A lot of people asked him about like Brian McClendon, who's now with the Bucks, and they're like, "Hey, did you have a formal interview with Tampa? Do you feel like maybe BMAC might be interested in bringing you in or on?" But he said he had not formally met with the Bucks in Indianapolis, but he said he met with almost every team in the league, but he did not formally meet with the Buccaneers in Indianapolis up to that point. Now that might have changed or could always change.
Well, and just think if the Bucks hadn't just re-signed Mike Evans too.
Yeah. But a Mike Evans and a Ladd McConkey.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, I'm not comparing him. I'm just saying he would have had a better chance to make, the roster or get picked by Tampa Bay.
But he also was asked about Todd Monken.
Oh,
so that was cool because they asked him, like, hey, like to have a reunion with Todd Monken. And he said, Monken's the one who made me. So I thought that was interesting.
That'd be awesome.
He praised Monken. And then he said, not to mention, like, Baltimore did pretty good this past season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, on who would be your quarterback if you went to Baltimore? Like, who would be throwing you passes? Who does not want to do that? Right? Like, if you go to Baltimore, obviously, and then you get an opportunity to play, Lamar Jackson
from
your
the two-time league MVP. Yeah.
You won a national championship with Todd Monken. I mean, this all makes sense, but he definitely was asked about BMAC and about Monken, and I found that to be very interesting because I never thought about that. So I don't know what the needs are at receiver on either of those teams, but I am glad that you brought up the fact that
the Bucks
Evans was re-signed in Tampa. I don't know that that affects anything with Ladd, but the fact that he was brought back for 2 years, I think $52 million.
Come on, Falcons. Get a dog.
So, it's, come on. I think
just one of them.
Terry Fontenot was asked about that. And I feel like there's no excuses, Falcons. Like, how many miles down the street? 60 miles, maybe?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? They've always had a bad history of drafting dogs, and maybe they can change that.
I'll tell you what, Javon Buller did well for himself, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He ran a really good 40.
I think whoever gets him is getting, like, one of the hardest workers. He's such a hard worker, well-spoken. I just think that he, during his time at Georgia, he made the best of every moment and showed true leadership in a secondary that really needed it, really needed it. all right, let's move on to...
Just very laid back, but driven at the same
time. Let's move on to March Madness. It's basically yearly. Like, the tournament hasn't started. However, we're in March, and conference tournaments start next week. Some of the smaller conferences, don't get mad at me for saying that. Some of the smaller conferences
start this week.
Like the ASUN, KSU is starting their hopes to make it to the big dance tonight against Jacksonville. They're the 9 seed, though. Any thoughts on that? And quite frankly, they had to pick up the pieces of so many transfers out of that program from last year's team. Because if it were the same team, even with a different coach, I feel
like they would have had better results.
Correct. So with that being said, I don't think KSU makes the run they made last year, and I don't think they win the conference. Anything's possible. But they have some building to do. And it's your guy who's head coach, who came from Alabama, who has an impeccable record.
Antoine Petway, yeah.
But it's going to take some time for him to settle in as well.
Yeah. Quick story. So when I was a little kid, growing up in Alabama, I used to wear red, bright red shoes because Antoine Petway wore them when he was at Alabama.
That's a cute
story. And you could see them from a mile away. Like, they were obnoxious, but I loved them. so I'm definitely rooting for him on a personal level. But yeah, hopefully they can get it done. They might make a run in this thing. Who knows? I mean, I don't think they're as talented as last year.
It just takes time.
It does. It takes time. And especially, like, if you can't really get your own players in there, you know, you're dealing with some from the last regime, and it takes a couple years. I mean, but what's crazy though is that, you know, the guy who just left,
the same can't be said about Amir.
The guy that just left is winning right now in South Florida.
Yeah.
So
Amir Abdur-Rahim, love the guy. He treats people with nothing but respect. Left KSU after that successful season last year, made the most of it because, quite frankly, Lee, he probably didn't know if it was going to happen again.
Right.
Brought KSU to the big dance. They were eliminated in the first round, though they honestly could have, or should have, but
they should have won.
Yeah.
They had a really good chance.
Yeah, they really did. But with that being said, at USF right now, my alma mater, he is balling out. They've lost 5 games, right? They're on a 14-game win streak. That's the longest active win streak in the nation right now. They're in the AP Top 25 for the first time in program history. They're ranked 24th in the country. 6 guys on the roster have ties to either KSU or the state of Georgia. I think there are 3 guys who transferred from KSU, and then there are three kids who signed from Georgia to play for the Bulls. So that arena right now, rocking, packed. USF has no regrets for hiring him.
No.
And Coach Amir was ready. He proved that he was ready at KSU, and he's brought that momentum with him. And more than likely, this team will probably have to win their conference tournament to get into the Big Dance.
KSU?
No, USF.
Really? You think so?
Probably. But
I don't know. I feel
but
like
they might.
I feel like if you're ranked in the top 25 at the end of the season and you don't win your tournament, I feel
you're
like
just you're not in the best conference.
No, but I feel like you'll definitely get in. I can't imagine a top 25 team doesn't get in just because they lost their conference.
I don't know.
Their tournament.
They won the
regular season.
Yeah.
So
they did. They won the regular season conference.
I mean, that's got to count for something, right?
You would hope so, but I would put nothing past.
Because we're gonna boil an entire season down to 1 week when you just showed that you are more consistent than all the other teams in your league for the other 3.5 months, 4 months.
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure we'll continue to talk about Coach Raheem. For now, we've got to go, but we do apologize once again for that technical issue we have top of the show.
Yeah.
But we are glad you stuck with us, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Have a good night.
All right.